Psalm 3. It's a morning psalm. M-O-R, not M-O-U-R. A morning psalm. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill, Selah. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Selah. Our Father, we thank you for the truth that you are the source of peace. In the midst of a world full of tribulation, turbulence, uncertainty, you are the source of quietness, of peace. We ask for that peace for each one in this room. We pray for the needs of each one. God, you know us. You love us. We pray this morning, our Father, that you would be exalted today. We commit our time to you in Jesus' name. Open your word to us. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of your law. Open our eyes, our ears, and our heart. We ask this morning for each one. We pray for the needs of a pastor. We lift them before you. We lift before you the man of your choosing. We pray for those seeking. And so, God, may your will be done. Direct them. And in this hour, we ask you to direct us. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. At a family function, I went downstairs. Everyone else was upstairs. And I went downstairs to rest. And in the midst of the activity of young children, it was quiet. It was dark. I could sleep. So I did. But before I went to sleep, I heard the sound of my 3-year-old niece saying, "I need some peace and quiet. She's the source of all the noise. I need some peace and quiet." How about you today? Do you need some peace and quiet? If you watch the news or read the news, however you get the news, whether online or with newspaper, there is enough to create tension, restlessness, anxiety, distress. But David in Psalm 3 knew the reality. God is the source of peace. This is called a morning psalm. Look at it with me in verse number 5. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. It's a morning psalm. What a morning it was for him. Psalm 4 is called an evening psalm. And so you have in Psalm 3 and 4, the morning and evening psalm. David wrote this psalm in the crucible of rebellion. His own son, Absalom, had rebelled against him. He wanted to rule the kingdom and was ready to move dad out of the way and take over. We find that historically in Scripture in 2 Samuel chapters 15 through 18. Absalom met a sad end. He was noted for his hair. And that hair got him in trouble. I don't have to worry about that, see? I could ride under bushes and it would just slide right over my head. It may leave a scratch, but it won't catch me. Absalom got caught. And it ended up being his demise. He died when someone took his life because he was caught. But Psalm 3 is God's answer to restlessness. Let's open God's Word and find out. In this Psalm, verses 1 through 8, there are four divisions. We get to go through the thought process that David went through in this particular situation. That word Selah means stop and think of that. Stop and think of that. It's a rest. Whether for reading or for singing or as a stop, a pause. Reflect on what you have just heard, what you have just read. Selah, stop and think of that. It's the first time in Psalms we've seen it. Not in Psalm 1, not in Psalm 2, but now in Psalm 3. And throughout the rest of the book of Psalms, you will see that word, Selah. Stop and think of that. The first thought process is David sees the situation. He looks on the mountainsides of Judea, and there, just a couple of hills over, Absalom has over 12,000 men. There was a Marine detachment. The commander of the unit said, the enemy is right where we want him. He's in front of us. He's beside us. He is behind us. We're right where we want to be. Only a Marine would say that. We're surrounded. And it's not we're going to give up. David saw someone bigger than Absalom, dear ones. I love the statement of Elisha when he was meeting the armies of, I believe it was the Assyrians. And Elisha says, Lord, open his eyes to see. And when he thought that he was surrounded in front, they saw around them a heavenly host that outnumbered their physical enemy. My dear friend, can I remind you that you and I are owned, possessed, and indwelt by the living God. He's far greater than any trial, struggle, issue, tension, frustration that we have today. God has not let go of the throne. David, notice it with the very first word in verse 1 of Psalm 3 in the situation. Lord, Jehovah. That name, Lord, appears over 6,000 times in the Jewish scriptures. 6,000! It is the holy name of God. So holy that when the Jewish people come to that name in the reading of the Word of God, they change it from Jehovah to Hashem, the name. They cannot pronounce that name. David sees that God. in the midst of his whole situation, he sees God. Stop right here. Take note of that, dear ones. Where are you at today? Let's take you collectively. Year and a half, over a year and a half. No pastor. It's okay. God's shepherding you. God's shepherding you. The Lord is our shepherd. Not a bad pastor to have. David recognized that God was in control. David recognized that God was in him, with him, near him. Lord, how are they increased who trouble me? He looks at the situation and he sees, first of all, his adversaries. His adversaries. Dear ones, for David, it was a physical adversary. It was an enemy. It was his own son in rebellion. Raised an army and was going to overthrow the king of Israel. For us, it's a spiritual adversary. Nonetheless, potent. And dangerous. Join me in Ephesians 6, would you please? In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul points out for us, in verse 12, these words. Let's begin at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So behind the physical, there is a spiritual enemy, Satan and his forces. Please go back to Psalm 3. David looks at the adversary, his own son, gathering an army to rebel against him and take the rule by force. We look at what the adversaries do. Many are they who rise up against me. Dr. Sproul made that comment. There are some people whose criticism I listen to. I like that graphic. My ears pick up. And he said, others, I let their criticism go from one ear to the other. I like that. Some I'll listen to, most I don't. David was hearing the threats. He saw the threat of his adversary. He sees what their force is. Many are they who have increased against me. They attack. And notice their antagonism. Goes right to the heart. Right to the heart. There is no hope for God in God. Don't even think that God is going to help you. It's amazing how vocal people who don't even know God can be. How cruel, how vocal. And all the while, all they want to do is wear you down. By the way, that's what our enemy wants to do too. Paul talks about the wiles of the devil, his strategies, his methods, his intentions. Jesus says in John 10 that the enemy, the thief, comes not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. To steal, to kill, and destroy. David's adversaries antagonize him, irritate him. They wanted to wear him down. There is no hope for you in God. But notice David's solution in verses 3 and 4. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me. You are my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I like that image, folks. For one thing, it is an image of nurture. It is the image of the warrior who has been wounded. And you cradle his head and you give him the water. And you give him the encouragement until he can get further help. You're the lifter up of his head. There is the picture of nurture. But oh, dear ones, there's another picture. There is the picture of comfort and encouragement. There was a coach who at the conclusion of a game when his team had just lost, it had been a very close contest, but his team lost. They had given everything. And it wasn't enough. They couldn't win and they were defeated. And he watched them walk off the floor and he saw their heads down as they had failed in their goal of winning the game. And he simply called out, "Heads up. Heads up. Heads up." He reminded them, you made out of one, but you did your best. You gave it all. You did what I asked you to do. Heads up. Dear ones, he is the lifter up of the head. He is the one who comes alongside. There's a powerful word that that the Lord Jesus Christ uses of the Holy Spirit. It's called the paraclete. And it's not paracletes, okay? It's the paraclete. It is the one called alongside to help. It is the one who strengthens you when you feel the weakest. He's there. When you feel the lowest, he's there. Dear ones, David knew the reality. He knew that what his enemies were saying was untrue, was absolutely false. And he reminded himself, first of all, of the truth of who his God is. When you are overwhelmed with that restlessness, when you're watching the news or reading the news, that anxiousness comes up. Anger comes up. Frustration. Dear ones, God's called us to peace. How can I have peace in the midst of a turbulent, tried world? He's the God of peace. Right here on the inside. David reminded himself of what's true about God. What his enemies were saying were lies. God is the lifter up of my head. God is my glory. God is my shield. He is the one. He is the one they actually have to contend with, not just me. In order to get to me, they've got to get to God. Who do you think's going to win in that battle? They've got to get through God. David looks at the solution and he reviews what he knows is true about God. That's what we have to do, folks. Review what's true. Rely on what's true. But then he goes one step further. Throughout Psalm 3, it's a prayer. Someone has rightly said, the life hemmed in prayer seldom unravels. The life hemmed in prayer seldom unravels. What would Satan want to do? To disturb you, lie to you about God, keep you from praying. I can do this. What Paul said this morning is absolutely true. We tend to think that we can do this and He's my spare tire. No, folks, he's the whole vehicle. We can't do anything without him. Jesus said it so well in John 15, verse 5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. David experienced God's peace as he reviewed his truth in his walk with God. David began to pray. He cried out to God. I love this statement he makes in verse 4. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me. He heard me from his holy hill. He heard me from his holy hill. Join me in Psalm 120. There's a similar phrase that is used in Psalm 120. It's a very powerful. Psalm 120. Look at me at verse 1. In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. You can make a connection between those two statements. I cried, he heard. My dear friend, when you cry, when you and I cry out to God, he hears us. He hears us. He answers us. It was a hot summer day in August in our last pastorate. I had already applied to the Friends of Israel. And on that hot day, I had had like 6 cups of regular coffee. The heat was about like it was yesterday in the 90s. Humidity was high. And that night, about midnight, I started having chest pains racing across my chest. And Kay said, what's wrong? And I said, well, I've got some chest pains. So maybe we should go to the hospital. Let's call and ask them. Go! So we went to the hospital in town. Got to the hospital. I'm sitting at the table. the desk, I should say, and the receptionist is taking my information. She says, "What are your symptoms?" I said, "I'm having chest pains, ma'am." She said, "Get out of here." And so I went in, had my x-rays. They put me in a bed in ICU. That hot summer Friday night. And for 21 hours, I was in ICU at Three Rivers Area Hospital. Dear ones, as I laid in that bed, God's peace flooded my soul. I was at rest. David knew exactly that same experience. I cried out, and the Lord heard me from his holy hill. Then notice David's response in verses 5 and 6. David's satisfaction. I love these words. I lay down and slept. Folks, it's a blessing to be able to sleep anywhere. You know that? For Jacob, he put his head on a stone and he went to sleep. For David, I lay down and slept. How could you do that, David? Thank you for asking. It's because he had cried out to God, and God had heard, and he was at rest, and he could sleep. Notice his own testimony. Notice David's own testimony in verse number 5. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. My dear friend, we have to put our problems in context of an eternal God. These problems, the stress, the distress, is nothing in comparison to God. Do you realize? No. Do you believe? I have to ask it that way. Do you believe that God is really greater than any problem that you have? Who owns the problem? You see, folks, anxiety, distress, has an answer. Let me take you to Philippians chapter 4, would you please? Join me in Philippians chapter 4. I want to begin at verse 4. Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for most things. Is that what the Word of God says? Be anxious for nothing. But Lord, you don't understand. Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. Be anxious for nothing. God is the God of peace. Peace in your heart. Peace in your mind. Peace. Be anxious for nothing. Now notice what Paul's response is. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. As I cast my cares upon him, what happens? Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, that passes all understanding will keep your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. May I ask you a question? It comes down to this. Do you want peace or do you want anxiety? There's another great truth. Join me in 2 Peter chapter 3. Actually, First Peter 5, sorry. 1 Peter 5, 7. First Peter 5, 6 says, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Verse 7, casting all the big cares upon him. I'll hang on to the little cares. Is that what the Word of God says? Really? Casting, throwing, releasing, placing all your care. Placing all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He cares for you. Why would I cast my cares upon him? Because he is sufficient and he loves me. My dear friend, he loves you. You have to believe that in the midst of all of this turmoil, in the midst of all the distress, David realized the reality that God was near. David realized that the battle belonged to him, not David, to God. It was him that they really didn't want. Peace in the midst of turmoil. God is the God of peace. It's not just nice thoughts, dear ones. It's truth. It's truth. You can have peace in the midst of the storm. Join back in Psalm 3, would you please? David prays. His satisfaction, he's had rest. You know what? Sometimes everything looks a little better when you've had a good rest. That's where Brian and his family are at today. Folks, Satan knows when, where, how, and exactly at the point to hit you. And when we're down, vulnerable, we can be hit. David found rest. Notice his resolve in verse number 6. I will not be afraid. Now notice, he doesn't just say of 10,000. 10,000s, plural. So you name the thousands from 10 to a million. China has over 200 million warriors. I will not be afraid of 10,000s. What his confidence in God has wrought, a steel resolve. He knew the truth, folks. He's the king. But there is a king over him. And that king is the one who defends, protects, and preserves him. David concludes his psalm in verses 7 and 8 with an absolute declaration of his salvation. David had nothing to fear. God's peace had come. His salvation, his deliverance is certain. And so he prays. Notice his prayer. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. He casts on the Lord. Casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. But he prayed, arise, O Lord, show your power, show your might, show who you are. And he prays, for you have struck all of my enemies on the cheekbone. J. Vernon McGee points out that when you get hit on the cheekbone, it's a knockout punch. God, you have knocked out my enemies. And you have hit them so hard that their teeth have fallen out. You know what happens when your teeth fall out? You look toothless. Can't bite. David's enemies have been thwarted, defeated. My dear friend, our enemy Satan and all of his forces were defeated at the cross. He's a defeated foe. Sometimes I forget that. How about you? But dear ones, our Savior defeated him. David realized that God was at work. God was going to honor his name. Who put David in the authority as king? Who put him there? God did. David didn't seek it. God put him there. Go back to the days when Samuel went to Jesse's home. And the Holy Spirit said to Jesse, don't look on his stature because he's tall. He's not the one I want. Went all the way down to David. The little runt. I love David. My kind of guy. And David is the one that God said, choose him. For he is the one I've chosen. David knew he was going to be the king, but he didn't know the process it would be to get there. But God was in control. And he looked to God, and God defended David. And David ends up with absolute praise. At the end of verse 8. Notice it with me, would you please? Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. David's praise. There is another statement very similar to that. Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, salvation is of the Lord. Peter put it this way in Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Only one Savior, dear friends. Only one. And that's Jesus Christ, the living God, who saves. Who saves. David knew what it was to be delivered. And he found rest in the Lord. He found the key to restlessness is submitting to God. I want you to notice the emphasis on prayer in Psalm 3. Notice it with me. Lord, how are they increased who trouble me? But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice. Verse 7, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. My dear friend, the key to peace in the midst of a turbulent, troubled world. The key to peace is seeking God. Prayer. And isn't that what we just read? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the result will be the peace of God that passes all understanding. And it will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There is God's answer to restlessness, anxiety. Right there. He is the God of peace. Let him give you his peace.